Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast, back for 2016 with your host Mark Finnegan and Mark Ellis.
Hello.
On tonight's show, we're going to be looking back at the 3-3 draw with Chelsea at the weekend, and we're also going to be taking a look back at all of January's results and the festive period at Everton. Mark, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, mate. Seems it's been ages since we've last seen each other.
Is it a bit too late to be saying Happy New Year, or
Yeah, there's no happiness about it so far. Even despite an unbeaten run, the happiness seems to have faded away.
Everton is still unbeaten, but obviously we meet here today in sort of gloomy mood about what's happened at the weekend.
Yeah.
How have you been, and how have you viewed the festive period of games?
It's been, like you say, you know, it's been intensely frustrating by and large, hasn't it? You know, where we just feel like, yet again, we've gone through a period of games where, although they were difficult games, that we failed yet again to cash in on sort of the positive aspects of our play. It's the same old problems that keep, you know, pure groundhog day with Everton, isn't it? Just exact, you know, and every single result ends with the tweet, what else did you expect? Well, you know, that really sums it up, really. Everton just are consistently
inconsistent
about being poor defensively.
Well, I think over Christmas we had the Newcastle result, but we also had like the likes of your Stoke results, after it as well. And as soon as we begin to get excited, we tend to be shot down. But as you say, it's typically the Everton way, isn't it? But
yeah,
we've gone on a bit of an unbeaten run, and I think it's probably fair to say we'll come back to the early games in January a bit later in the show, but the main focus has to be the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
There's no denying that's the hot topic. Obviously, there's other things going on with Everton at the moment, but Everton on Saturday, you can probably say typical of the Martinez era, probably typical of this season. We went to Stamford Bridge. We ended up drawing 3-3. It could have been a lot more, couldn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it could have been. It was up for a cricket score at one point, but it was just another, you know, we're sitting here looking at two results against City and Chelsea, where in previous seasons we'd have been absolutely over the moon with them results. But, you know, the Chelsea game, I'm still receiving therapy for it, nowhere near completed. It's just, I think, not just for me, who tends to go overboard when watching Everton, I think it was a traumatic experience for most Evertonians watching that game on Saturday. Just, yet again, so much positivity about the way we attacked. All right, Chelsea is a place where nobody fears going there anymore, and everyone fancies it. A bit like United with Moyes first season, everyone just fancied it. But Everton, yet again, just, I don't know, 3-3 draw at Chelsea, most teams would be relatively happy with that, but I felt like we got beat 5-0. Absolutely devastated.
It felt like a defeat.
Yeah, painful. It was so much to be positive about, but then you can't be positive about any of it because it's getting totally undermined by, you know, the way we're defending at the back. It's just,
well, we went there, Mark, and obviously he made changes to the side. He gave Morales a start, he gave Aaron Lennon a start, and to be honest, looking at the first half, we done well, didn't we? We had that chance with Oviedo, who probably should have put us in front with that chance off the cross Barkley. We also had that excellent Kevin Morales effort, which was saved by Courtois. Overall, at half-time on Saturday, I think a lot of us were glad. I mean, looking at the City game, it was a completely different City. You know, first half, we'd done okay there. Second half, we defended strong. We earned a valuable point. We kept a good away clean sheet. Yeah. Going to Chelsea, as you say, they're not the good side or the champions that they were last season. And in the first half, I thought, you know, there was chances there for us to take. Okay, we didn't take them, but at half time, I think most of us would have been happy, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I was relaxed. I wasn't but you know, Chelsea were again huffing, but without much quality. We looked more dangerous, like you say. Oviedo just sliced that wide, didn't he? Really, when he you know, should have scored from that angle. Really,
so close. I mean, Barkley's done well, didn't he?
But what he was doing,
Oviedo was a typical sort of fullback finish.
Like you mentioned, Morales, I thought he made an absolute mockery of the way Martinez has been treating him. I know a lot of people are split over Morales, and they have got a point with his attitude. I do take that, but I think Morales has showed exactly what we do miss when he's not in the team. You know what I mean? We just looked. Not that we need to look more dangerous going forward, but there was certainly extra quality, wasn't there, when we were attacking with Morales.
I've got to admit, Matt, we've sat here, you know, time and time again last season, and I've been openly critical of Morales, but yeah. I thought his attitude, yeah, a lot of people have criticised his attitude, and I don't know whether his heart is in it.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed a new contract, but when he does play and when he's on form, like he probably was on Saturday, you can't knock the lad. I mean, he's unplayable coming in from the right, coming in from the left. He can shoot with both feet. He's got, you know, he's not the smallest of lads. He's got ability in the air. He can take free kicks. He can take corners. He's a hell of a player.
He's sitting on the bench for the
exactly. He's a hell of a player when he wants to be. He does frustrate the life out of me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and because he's had one good game and scored a couple of goals. Well, he scored 3 goals in the past 5 games.
But yeah.
I'm not going to be completely, I'm just saying.
Gone goal. Ten,
yeah, yeah. I have criticised him, so I don't want anyone to say, well, you've changed your tune now. But I realise what you've just said, the potential that is there with him, and if he gets the chance, I think on Saturday he showed it.
Absolutely, he grabbed it with both hands, didn't he? And I think now with Dalafoe, you know, it was like a couple of months ago. I was ready that Dalafoe and Lukaku would sort of the be all and end all, but Dalafoe's really sort of gone off the boil of late, hasn't he? You know, which is understandable. But I think Morales is really grabbing his opportunity. It'd be nice to see him get a little extended run in the team now, wouldn't it? Just to see if his attitude. Is sort of up to scratch and everything that he does want to put in, not just in the big games. Swansea would be a perfect sort of test for that, wouldn't it? You know, a team on a slippery slope down to the Championship, it seems. Now.
Well, looking at when he started, he started them, didn't he, against Newcastle, if you remember?
Yeah.
With Lennon as well. I think that was the last game he started.
Yeah,
and he was with Lennon. And he started against Chelsea as well. So it seems like he's reluctant to play Dalafoe in a side where there's other out and out wingers, shall we say. Okay. So he'll play a Kone, a Cleverley, an Osman against Manchester City because he needs that sort of defensive knack. Whereas he seems to not be as bothered when he plays Morales or Lennon because he thinks that that might just come down to sheer defensive qualities with them, and he thinks they've got the capabilities to track back as well. But it is interesting to see, to be honest, because as I say, I've been critical of him. You know, Morales, there's always talk in the press about him moving on.
Yeah.
But really, in reality, if we wanted to, we could really put the lad to good use. And we all know he's got the quality. And I think on Saturday, especially in that first half, well, overall against Chelsea, he was one of the better players.
It was. And he's given Martinez a problem now, whereas in the past, Martinez can justify dropping him, you know, with no sort of... he doesn't have to justify it because he quite often hasn't done it when he's come on... as he all, and he hasn't performed and done nothing, and it's been easy for Martinez to drop him. But this weekend, he's made it difficult for him because he was one of our best players.
Definitely, like, and I think Mark, looking at the highlights from the first half, we're probably unlucky not to go into the break with a lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was no. We grew into the game, didn't we? A bit more than sort of take it, you know, go at Chelsea right from the way go, and we seem to just wear them down a little bit and then grow into it. Like we did against City, but then, you know, before the City onslaught, I just thought, we have got that quality about us. I don't know what it is, though. We just can't concentrate. We can't. It's all there. For me, the pieces are all there, except the goalkeeper. You know, I'm not going to look at one game good game in 20, and suddenly come round to the idea that Tim out. But for me, they're all there, all the pieces are there. I just don't know. There should not be six wins in a season with that team. No way. It's just, I can't understand how Coleman, Stones, Jagielka, Marty even, and Bings are not defending the way they should be. That for me is the Rubik's Cube of our team. I cannot work out, whatever.
I think there'll be a lot of Evertonians out there, Mark, that were asking the same question, because, as you say, you know, we've got all the right ingredients to be a successful side, and we're just not doing it. So obviously the finger gets pointed at Roberto, and you know, he's the manager, so he's going to take the flack. But
yeah,
I think with that side there and whoever we're going up against, I expect us to go and beat Chelsea. I expect us to go and get a decent result against Man City. I expect us to beat Swansea on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, as you just said, the statistics don't lie. The league table doesn't lie. 11th place, 6 wins all season.
Yeah.
11 draws. More than any other side in the league.
You can read too much into statistics, but you can't read too much into them. They tell
it's
you
so
exactly
frustrating,
you
know, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Last season, yeah.
I can think of 5 games off the top of my head where we should have had full 3 points and we've ended up with 1. It's cost us all season.
Last season, we sat here and we tried to make excuses with Europe.
Yeah.
With what we were involved in, and
pitiful performance after pitiful performance.
But it was domestically, it was, wasn't it? I mean, Europe
was a great adventure. Holiday. Yeah.
We had a great adventure in Europe, but this season there's no excuses. There is no excuses. Everyone gets injuries. Everyone gets injuries in the league. Some more than others, and Everton seem to get a lot more than others. I don't know for what reason that is.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, call it luck, call it whatever. In terms of referee decisions, we can, you know, we'll come to the Chelsea one in a minute, but you know, we got away with one probably against Man City the other night as well. So those sorts of things, I don't read into it too much. I just think there's something holding us back, and I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's going to take 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years for this team to gel. But my worry is that team won't be around. Yeah,
it won't.
And a lot of Evertonians probably won't be around.
That's what the fear is now. A lot of Evertonians can see the quality in this team, but they can't. They can see it being disbanded in almost no time at all. So it feels like our time's running out to really cash in on the one great team, potentially great team that we've had. So it's like, so the panic's on now. It's like literally the next few months we've got to cash in, because it could all be over come after the France Euros, couldn't it? You know,
exactly. And
we could be selling. I'd like to think we'll keep them for another year, and then, but like, you know, really we ought to have been. These players should already be convinced where this team's going this season, but you know,
those worries are justified, though, Mark.
Yeah.
Beyond John Stones, beyond Ross Barkley, beyond any other player coming through at Everton, we've seen it, and we've all seen it before.
Yeah,
you're older than me.
Yeah.
I always remind you about that. You're older than me. We've seen players come and go. There's 50, 60, 70, 80 year old Evertonians out there who've seen it and done it and been there before. And they know football's a quick game. It moves on in cycles quickly. Whereas Evertonians always remain, but the team moves on in cycles. The manager will move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've all seen, you know, Roberto might... People might say you need to give him 5 years before you can judge him. But for me, this is a season where he needs to show what's going to happen. Because good season.
Yeah.
Poor season. Third season, let's, you know... In terms of Premier League, three years is probably a long time.
I would say so. Because what makes me say that is he started off with a quality group of players. They weren't a poor, you know, we weren't in need of making.
But he didn't inherit a poor squad, did he?
He inherited a decent squad that he instantly sort of made better with the first season, you know, breath of fresh air, approach to it, whatever. But now it seems he's totally shifted his mentality away from defending. Like his comments after the Chelsea game were not really they weren't reassuring in any way, were they? It was like, you know, we're not the sort of team to run the clock down, is it, or something. Well, if we were the sort of team to do that, we'd be sitting in the top four. So what do we want to be? We're like the Newcastle of 96, but they scored more goals and got higher up the league than us. We're everybody's favourite team, and really we want to be everybody's hated team, don't we?
Well, that's it. And when you look at some of the statistics, which we'll obviously come to in a minute, you can't ignore some of the facts and the statistics that are there in black and white. But just on the Chelsea game, obviously we've gone into a bit one there, as we usually do. It wouldn't be a podcast without going into one with it about Everton, but half time at Stamford Bridge, we probably thought we were all right. Into the second half, obviously Lukaku, he created, he's never scored against Chelsea either, by the way, which is an interesting stat, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's banged 19 goals.
He does seem overawed by them, if you ask me. He gave that impression that...
I'd love him to get a goal against them, though.
...seemed too big for him. I don't know, I could be talking complete arse, but that's how it looked.
But he basically created the opening for Baines to set up the first goal at Stamford Bridge. John Terry,
classic Baines ball.
I thought Leighton Baines was probably...
He's been outstanding.
Typical Leighton Baines against Chelsea on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he was outstanding because it's what we expect from Leighton Baines.
Yeah.
That is Leighton Baines.
The last few games, I think he's been back to his sort of fiery best, hasn't he? You know, I like it when he tries to take the games by the scruff of his...
Is that because Stephen Pienaar's fit again on the bench?
Maybe, yeah, exactly. It's like when your mate comes...
You don't know, though, do you? Yeah.
No, you don't know. I mean, they obviously get on great and they obviously got a good... relationship, you just don't, it's plausible.
He's played with Cleverley, he's played with Osman, he's played with Kone.
But as Pienaar steps on, we have seen a different Leighton Baines, there's no coincidence.
Even though Pienaar's only come off the bench on occasion, and he started against Dagenham.
Yeah, Pienaar, one of the few players I think could still contribute, but I know it's scraping the barrel, but I think he's made a class these days.
Love to hope that he could contribute, but obviously Baines, he set up the first, early in the second half. I'm sure, like you, Mark, I was going absolutely off my head thinking, yes, we're in front, now let's have a real go here and hold on to this. And before we had time to, scratch our heads, we were 2-0 up. And But before the actual Morales goal, there was another chance for Barkley, which he was played in on the left-hand side, the one he hit the post, And that was probably even more of a better chance than when Morales received the ball for the second. And you think to yourself, he could be 3-0 up in about 12 minutes then.
Morales was absolutely, one of them goals that, had you seen Neymar score for Barcelona or, Bale, Ronaldo for Madrid, everyone would be going mad over it. It was just a fantastic goal.
There could be all sorts of vines over Twitter and all that.
Where these superstars get put on like a universal pedestal, and that, but Morales scored a goal there that was worthy of winning any game. It was just a wonderful goal.
It was a great finish.
It was a snapshot on the turn, wasn't it?
2-0, and you're thinking to yourself, here we go. We've contained Chelsea. We're the better side. We've passed it round.
Yeah.
Give it an hour. Maybe not just an hour, but we're 2-0 up. And we think to yourself, And it all, we'll come to the quotes. Leighton Baines talks, and Roberto talks about managing a game. But when you're 2-0 up, you've then got to manage the game, in my opinion. And obviously, Chelsea are going to throw Everton at you. But the manner in which they did and the manner in which Everton sort of behaved, I thought to myself, it's typical. It's so typical, and obviously it just echoes the Bournemouth game.
It was like they didn't do anything different to Bournemouth either. You're talking about a team with £300 million plus more worth of talent than Bournemouth, and they both adopted pretty much the same plan to outdo us. And again, you're right, we just lacked any kind of intelligence. Any kind of, stop. We're so committed to what we're doing. We're not thinking about what we need to do. We just commit. We just have one plan. That's it, isn't it? There was no. It's like Jurassic Park. They were too busy thinking whether they could. They didn't stop to think whether they should.
Exactly. But that's it, though, isn't it? And you think to yourself, well, are we going to learn from the lessons that have basically balls us up this season on occasions?
These are painful lessons that we've had. They're not like, one-off flukes. Bournemouth was an absolute knife, wasn't it? Through the heart, and then we go and repeat the same feat at Chelsea. So they're not lessons that, could happen to anyone where you need to train or these are. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think
it's
clear
that
not much notice have been taken to Bournemouth.
It's sickening because you're celebrating getting in front. Sooner as you're celebrating and getting in front, there's a goal pegged back and you're shitting yourself and you think, well, the game's got a different complexion now. You've got 30 odd minutes with the home side going for it.
And we've now lost our heads completely, so there's only going to end one way. We need to just have total control to no control.
Looking at that goal, Mark, the Diego Costa goal, who are you blaming for that?
My natural instinct is to blame Howard, right, because as because I think he's, I don't know, I want to blame Jagger as well, and I think they're both culpable. I just think no decent goalkeeper would have made that decision to come on, you know, and confuse things. I don't know. I think, but then it looked an unnatural position for me for a keeper to find himself in, you know, just before a goal was scored. It just didn't look right at all. And that's not really an expert opinion, but that's just the way it looked to me when I was watching the game.
I think
my first instinct was that Jagiel comes up fault for letting the ball bounce, but I think Howard didn't help the matters with his positional sense yet again.
I think Jagielka, he was slow to react, wasn't he? And obviously Costa was matching him. The thing is, if Tim Howard stays on his line, Jagielka has maybe a yard or two to either get himself sent off or redeem himself.
Yeah.
And Howard's there to try and save
the effort. Costa's also not going to do him for pace, is he?
So, exactly. You know, when two people commit themselves, there's always that chance where they're going to confuse each other.
And it ends up looking a ridiculous goal.
And to be honest, you know, if Howard's going to come that way, why not get yourself sent off then, lad? And clatter Howard, clatter Jagielka.
Make sure...
Get yourself sent off and have a free kick outside the box. I know that sounds a bit hypocritical now, but when you're looking at it, like, at least do something.
If you're going to
do something mad, do something fucking effective in a game of footy, you know what I mean? If you
stop him from scoring a goal.
Rather than just fucking come out... Jagielka, don't get me wrong, Jagielka's the blame in this as well.
Yeah, he is.
Don't let the ball come over, lose your bearings, then your keeper come out and sort of both of you end up on the deck whilst the striker's walking the ball in the back of the net.
You're right. So
that to me is just ridiculous.
A complete lack of decisiveness from Jags and from Howard as well.
Definitely.
Is what, like you say, there was no commitment to do anything other than, I don't know, meet them halfway.
Well, before we had time to sort of spread our fume on Twitter about that goal, there was an equaliser. Well, Fabregas done that back heel flick, which was a great effort, and Howard saved that. But to be fair, Fabregas then scored and then deflected off John Stones, didn't it?
Just had the biggest sense of inevitability about it, that goal. And, you know, like you say, it was a lucky, it took a deflection that probably, I think Howard might have saved had it not took a deflection, but that's being generous, I guess. But Fabregas, who had a lousy game, it's got to be said, he's a player that's really gone off the boil, hasn't he? You know, really sort of failed to produce. Shot, and this is what happens, we just lose all sense, we just don't know what we're doing, do we? We just completely have a plan, and the minute it starts to go wrong, it goes totally wrong. Because there's no, which probably speaks that we're lacking a bit of leadership on the pitch, to be honest. But I don't know. It's just, you know, Fabregas hit the target, and then that's what happens, isn't it? It goes in. It was just gut-wrenching to watch. It was so inevitable.
It was 5 or 10 minutes of madness, though. But it was inevitable. It felt inevitable, didn't it? Because the way Everton play, and then after that, even that Kennedy set up Costa, didn't he? And he had a real chance.
Yeah.
To even give them the lead, and you think to yourself, right? We've missed 2-3 gilt-edged chances in the first half. We've come out in the second half and got ourselves a 2-goal lead, and now we find ourselves in danger of being 3-2 down. And you're like, what the fuck?
You're right, and I'm thinking, this can only happen to Everton football, but this doesn't happen to any other team. And I know, like, people laugh and they go, oh, Everton.
Does it, though? Anyone listening, does it happen to anyone else, or is it just Evertonians that
are...
Do I have to get through these emotions?
We there's no such thing as a comfortable day at the office for us. We have to shit ourselves 5-6 times a match just to get through.
I honestly can't believe I've turned 30. I've still got hair.
Yeah,
36. I've still got hair that isn't grey.
I've got no hair, and what I do have is grey.
Well, I haven't got, like, damaged knuckles. Honestly.
I've got no phone left.
But the thing is, when that happens, you're like, this is only going to go one way, this game. Now, they're in the ascendancy, obviously, Chelsea. They're a poor side, but when you come back from 2-0 down, and you get back to 2-2, the wind's in your sails.
Yeah.
Kennedy, and he brought a couple of other subs on.
Remy came on as well.
Yeah, they had chances and whatever, And fair enough, it was 2-2 going into the final minutes, and then, lo and behold, Everton get the opportunity. Delafoe with a great ball over to Lukaku, by the way, but it got defended out for a corner.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, the resulting corner, it comes back in, and then Funes Mori puts it in, and our fans are going off the tit.
It was great, but I thought Delphine overhit the cross when I first seen it come in, you know what I mean? Like it was just going to sail harmlessly out for a goal kick. And then I seen Lukaku go to head it, and the more he just proper getting a Lescott feel about him in front of goal. He's got a real goal scorer's knack, hasn't he?
Yeah,
and he
looks dangerous. Getting involved, well. Yeah.
I think he scored 3 goals now or something like that. It's really, and I think it's a good job he did, because I'm not sure Lukaku would have scored from the angle he was at. Maybe he would have hit the side, I don't know. But
he was behind him for a start, wasn't he?
Striker's instincts just made sure it went in. You know, just. And like he's, you know, we were talking before this, there was a result that Evertonians and the guys who go down there every other week deserved more than anything. You know, we've seen such good performances, and we sell out every away game and all that, and it's great. But we just hardly get any rewards for it. And that was a result, I think, that would have been just a little thank you, you know, to everyone who makes the effort all the time. And I think for Evertonians in general, that result, it was just needed.
It was. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're in a unbeaten run.
It doesn't feel
since
like that
since the turn of the year.
Yeah,
no,
you're
it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't because we've beat City, we've beat Dagenham, we do with Spurs. They're all good results. We've gone to City and got it, but we all know that Chelsea game there was what almost like a turning point where you think to yourself, yeah, we've gone there, we've won.
Yeah.
That's it. We've won 3, we've drawn 3, we're on a fucking belter of a run now. But now it's just like we've got to obviously face Swansea, we've got a new manager and the pressure's on, and then we've got the FA Cup and the League Cup.
Yeah.
And it's
the League Cup,
it is difficult
off
to
the scale, massive.
If we were in seventh place,
then
I wouldn't be so concerned about playing Swansea this Sunday.
No.
You know what I mean? Because we're in the League Cup and then the FA Cup, and then we come back to the League Cup.
So we're kind of, you know, we'd all be happy with sixth, wouldn't
exactly.
we, if it meant winning that League Cup. You know, to be honest, I'd take 16th if it meant winning that League Cup, such as the wait for the trophy. I would honestly take any kind of league position.
So you would, so you're saying that as a statement?
Absolutely. We need to win a trophy at any cost. Absolutely any cost. The club needs it. A generation of fans needs it. You know, we can't just keep going on not winning, and we need to start getting our name out there, do you know what I mean, and stuff. And I just think, I was 15 when we won a trophy last. So
you definitely sacrificed a low league position.
100%.
A relegation battle?
Not a relegation
16th
battle.
16th is a relegation battle.
The hair won't take a relegation battle. Let's go for 16th, my second season, where there was no threat of relegation. It was just a lousy end to the season that put us there.
Okay.
I'm going for that.
Do you take that for the cup
for the trophy? Absolutely, any day of the week. And then you have the platform to go again. And that sounds copy-ish, doesn't it? But you have the platform then to build. Because you're in Europe, you've got a trophy, nobody looks at a league position then. You're a club on the up.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
So, back to the end of the Chelsea game. We keep going off on a tangent, don't we?
Mad week. No.
Do you know what? He equalises. Sorry, he gets the winner. What we think is the winner.
Yeah.
The referee, obviously, massive outraged pouring towards him. John Terry scores a great finish, to be fair, but I don't know what Tim Howard's doing on his 6-yard box. But there's two headers there, so there's two opportunities to flag offside.
Yeah.
Also, the time's over. The referee put 7 minutes up and he's chatting wham about Everton, over celebrating. And then I don't think John Terry got booked, and I don't think there was any time added on for their celebration.
No.
So,
ball the ball over again.
It is, but where'd you draw? I've got to admit, Mark, I don't really, obviously I want your opinion on it, but I don't want to dwell on it because my frustration lies with Everton at 2-0 up.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that point. We should have seen the game out and we didn't, and we've been guilty of that all season where we haven't really ended the game when, you know, or seen the game out when we needed to, but we did let it slip. It's not to be forgotten that they are a quality team when they want to be. But also, I'm not making excuses for Martinez because he's been shocking all season with sort of his mentality to winning games and stuff. But I think having been drawn back to 2-2, we were good enough to get back in front. And I think from then on, I blame Martinez and I blame the referee. I'm in no way.
Me, so it's a bit of both.
My very
then,
first tweet was to say that it was corrupt. And there's not. Alright, that's probably over the top, but it's not. That's how I felt at the time. The referee felt to me like he wasn't going to blow until Chelsea scored. That's the way it looked to me. He had no intention. He didn't even look at his watch. 8 minutes, a full minute passed. 7 minutes had gone. He wasn't even looking at his watch and nothing. So to me, it looked like there was no way on earth we were getting out there with 3 points. It was always going to be a draw or whatever. But then we should have been good enough to see it out. We weren't. But then were we good enough to see it out? Because the guy was offside. So technically, the defence done their job. They just didn't get. They just got let down by the linesman.
Well, everyone said that, didn't he, about
the referee got away, but the linesman should have stopped his foot.
Yeah.
You know, I want to blame the referee for adding too much time on. I want to blame Martinez again for not really killing the game when we had the chance to. And I want to blame the linesman for not flagging. That was the deadly combination.
You're blaming everyone, aren't you?
Everyone except me, because I get enough blame at home.
But to be fair, just to generalise, I think to myself, the officials were poor for not finding that decision. Yeah. And I think to myself, especially with the two headers, Oscar headed it before Ivanovic headed it.
Yes.
And I think Terry could have been caught offside twice. The time,
time
I'm not as wound up about, because I know for a fact that in football nowadays you cannot... You don't know when the referee's going to blow it. It is discretion. What he had done time for, I'd love to know.
Discretion for what, though? It's like, you know, did he want Chelsea to equalise?
Is he looking at Funes Mori and Bez?
It does sound better.
I don't want to add 18 minutes.
Maybe.
Sorry, not 18 minutes. A minute, yeah, 30 seconds and 2 minutes.
But then, if he's going to do that, then add a minute on for Terry's celebration.
But the thing is, if he's doing that in added time... For our goal, that means it goes into other time.
Yeah.
But then if John Terry does it, it's not in other time. He doesn't get booked and he blows up for the end of the game, which is what happened.
So we.
I don't know. Yeah. I'd love for that to be explained.
The referee really ought to come out.
At the end of the day, I'm agree with you, Mark. It was written in the script. They were always going to equalise. As soon as we scored in the 90th minute, our fans. I'm not saying they're not going to celebrate, but they may as well not celebrate it, because you need to get Gareth Barry or someone on the ball and just fucking pass it around for 10 minutes or however long, not 10 minutes.
We need to do what we did again.
2 minutes, three minutes, and just pass the ball around or just boot it, or just boot it to Rosette.
Yeah, which is all the more baffling. We had 11 players on the pitch with 10 men against City in the Cup. We kept the ball like kings for 10 minutes, was it?
And we didn't care, yeah.
They didn't get near us. So where was that Everton for, what, a minute?
So, Leighton Baines, after a match, he scores the goal, obviously, Terry. We were going to play Roberto Martinez's quote, but I think they'll probably just make you go home even more baldy, man.
We don't want that.
The 4 minutes long as well, so swerve that. But yeah. Leighton Baines basically said, I'm gutted for the fans because, again, like always, we have unbelievable support. We got the first two goals in front of them. We were the better side, but we have to manage the game better. And I think that, to be honest, Mark, that's a lot of what our fans have said.
Yeah.
Managing the game.
Yeah.
And managing the lead, especially.
Forte in his first season. He was brilliant at it. You know, made the subs at the right times. He changed, you know, and he seems to have lost it.
But we didn't do it. We have conceded 3 goals in a game where we've never really under that kind of pressure. And we weren't. No. As you said, we were the better side.
Yeah.
We did so well to get 3 goals and get ourselves ahead in the game twice. We've only got ourselves to blame for not managing the game well enough, really. And to be honest, I don't know about you, but I prefer if our manager had just come out and said that as well.
Yeah.
So, rather than saying, we don't want to put ourselves under any unnecessary pressure and take the ball to corner flags. And it's almost become like a bit of a pride issue.
Yeah.
You think to yourself,
you're right.
Do you know what? I don't care what Everton do. If they win 1-0 and it goes in off, you know, Leighton Baines's Barnett in the 94th minute, it's a victory. It's 3 points and it means we're up that table.
See,
but if we keep playing fancy stuff, Mark,
yeah,
and we keep losing, drawing, or losing advantages in games and where we should be winning, then we deserve to be where we are.
I agree.
11th place.
It almost feels like that quote could have gone for how many games this season? Loads. You know, if you take the 3 goals out of it. This season feels to me like not many teams have beaten us. We've beaten ourselves more often than anything. We've beaten ourselves just with the way. We just haven't used our brains. are savvy are to be ruthless. You've got to be ruthless at both ends. So you do your ruthless with first, you get ahead in the game, and then you be ruthless at the back, and you don't let the other team in. And that's how, you know, if you give Man United team, as boring as they are, had they had the same sort of advantages that we've had in the league, they would be running away with that league right now. You know, they are dull, and they're not a good team to watch, but they know how to defend. We don't do. I think we're like 1928 with Dean again. We're going to score 98 goals and concede 89, aren't we? You know, we are. Are both teams to score back coupon?
Yeah, guaranteed.
We're just, if you're not betting on us, then you're an idiot.
Exactly. That's where the frustrating things come with Evertonians though as well, because they know the capabilities are there. Everyone obviously watches Everton on a week to week basis, Mark.
Yeah.
And they see the offensive play that we can create.
It's off the.
And they see.
Have you ever seen the top look at John
Stones, Funes Mori.
Yeah.
Phil Jagielka, Seamus Coleman, Leighton Baines. You could not name a better sort of four or five defenders in the country. You could not.
No.
So, you know, without dwelling on Tim Howard, it's not all down to Tim Howard.
No.
Because defenders are defenders. And you think, I thought we looked a bit more solid with Jagielka coming back in against City.
I think Bessage has made a big difference. And Bessage,
you get the spine of the team, yeah. And then you can see so free against Chelsea. And you're like, you can't actually put up that argument. You can't say it because they're going to be Bessage, like, well, actually, no, we've just conceded three goals. So.
Exactly. So the Bessage argument goes out the window. Because when we've seen him against Tottenham and City, I thought this is it. This is what we've been missing. And Mo Bessage, who for me is 10 times the player McCarthy is in the middle there. From what I can see, Mo Bessage, I know McCarthy's got his fans, but they're going to be hard pressed to justify putting him in over Bessage, because Bessage, Andy Townsend with this, and I hate it, but he affects the game 10 times more than McCarthy does.
Well, and let's be honest. Let's talk about it now. James McCarthy's out injured. He's come back to full training with Coleman this week, but
yeah,
he'll struggle to get back in that side, and he should struggle to get back in Absolutely. That side, because we've seen this time and time again. I'm not going to completely dismiss James McCarthy.
No,
all of
Evertonians
have done that.
Yeah,
he's been a great player for Everton over the past couple of years.
Yeah,
and I think he's still got a valuable part to play. The lad's still relatively young.
Yeah,
he hasn't got these sort of, you know, the snideness of Bezic, and he doesn't throw in a tackle like him. He might not have that attitude, but he hasn't grafted his ass off since he joined Everton McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact there's loads of Evertonians will say he justified that 13 million price tag. Well, we've got Mo Bezic for a couple of million. He's young, had a few injuries, but he's coming into the side, Mark. But yeah, that's fair enough. But it's competition for places.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want a player coming in who's shown a bit of form, who's shown a bit of attitude.
Yeah.
And showing that he's good enough to play. So then McCarthy should have to fight for his place.
Yeah.
It's the same with anyone else. It's the same with anyone else across that team.
And put the pressure on exactly. And get a
it's
chance.
The same with anyone else across that team.
Yeah.
Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman, Brendan Galloway. We've seen it before. Hall Robles,
yeah.
Tim Howard. We've seen these positions before. And, you know, look at Lennon, De La Foe, Morales, he tends to mix it up with them.
Yeah.
Obviously, we haven't got the striking capabilities to keep chopping and changing.
No, that needs to be addressed as well.
Exactly, it does. But these other areas, we need to realise that players are going to come in, and if they're better, or playing better than what we've got, then we need to keep their place.
And McCarthy's going to have to up his game to get ahead of us.
Exactly. Because McCarthy, for me, great player the past couple of years. Mo Bezic's come in. He's been outstanding. Evan Shoulders, especially with his attitude.
Yeah,
his attitude is unbelievable. And his
almost captain-esque. And he's really, looks like a captain on the pitch.
But he's under 25, isn't he?
He's not even 23, I don't think.
And, you know, James McCarthy's still young himself.
Yeah.
You've got Darren Gibson, obviously he's going to get shipped out on loan.
Yeah.
But the thing is, a midfield of McCarthy and Bezic in the future, it could be, you know, Gareth Barry, who's been one of probably, if not the best player in Everton shirt this season, which
spot
I don't
on.
Think we would have said that 12 months ago, would we?
No, absolutely a million miles away from it last season.
He's going to move on though, isn't he? He's going to move on eventually,
yeah.
So these lads here have got a real chance.
I agree. Bessage and McCarthy seems the logical, the future partnership, but for me, McCarthy's got to add more to his game. There's nothing definitive about it. Like you say, he's not Joe Parkinson, where he can, you know, where he's renowned for being a good ball winner. And then you don't see him setting up too many attacks either. So it's like, you know, your midfielders these days can do both, can't they? You're absolute, you know, going back to the likes of Vieira and players like that, they're what a midfielder should be like, shouldn't they? You know, winning the ball at one end and sticking it in at the other.
But that's the thing. You've got him, and he almost becomes a forgotten man. You've got other players at Everton, and this window is an opportunity for us to sort of, who's in the side, who's not in the side, can we move anyone on, can we bring anyone on cheap? And obviously there's things going on in the background, the rumours, and what is it now, 11, 12 days until the January return to England window. So
I think sort of the Naismith deal is something that is going to, you know, preempt some action in the transfer market. Not that we should already have the money from the summer, we should rants, but we should have the money from the summer, not just the money from Naismith. That should be additional on top, but we all know it doesn't work like that at Everton. But you know, hopefully we'll see some incomes.
Well, we'll see. But that was the Chelsea game anyway, and we'll come back in the second half.
We talking about transfers.
What was that, 40 minutes of the Chelsea game and us moaning about Everton? But anyway, we'll have a little break. Mark's just going to go and re-energise himself, go on Twitter and
have a rant,
upset a few other people. We'll come to his Twitter performance a bit later. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little break, and we'll come back in the second half, talk about some statistics of the season, look back on the other games in January. We'll also talk about transfer rumours, the upcoming fixtures and any other business.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to part two of the new Everton Fan Focus podcast for 2016. In the first half, we discussed the Chelsea game and obviously our frustrations from that, the league position overall with Everton, and we're also going to discuss the January fixtures, our overall thoughts on the season and look ahead to the upcoming fixtures. So Mark, obviously we're unbeaten in 2016, should be cracking up. Crack open the berries, or
why not?
It's a bit too early for that.
No, the sun's out as well.
But looking at the statistics in all seriousness,
it's
29 points from 22 games.
Yeah,
we've drawn the most games in the league, which is 11. You can tell I'm reading this, can't you? Obviously,
I can't tell.
We're 10 points off fourth place.
Yeah.
Overall, we've had 6 wins, which we know, 11 draws, 5 defeats. We've dropped 11 points from winning positions this season. Now, I read a statistic today that since before the Bournemouth game, we didn't drop any points when ahead, when we took the lead in a game, basically.
Yeah.
But since the Bournemouth game, I think it was the 28th, 29th of November, we've dropped 11 points from 9 games from winning positions, which is, it's shocking.
Yeah, which tells that the Bournemouth game had a mental effect on us.
Do you think the Bournemouth game killed us?
Left us scarred. Emotionally and from a defensive point of view, but then I don't know, the defensive worry seems to have been all season long, really, but that is more telling that since Bournemouth, we just can't hold on to a lead. Again, that sort of traumatised the whole club, as much as the fans. We don't seem to have learned any kind of lessons from that match.
It's gone on from there, and obviously, I wouldn't say the slump, because we've picked up a couple of wins along the way, but it tends to be what we've done in the past in terms of taking the lead in a game. Obviously, the Norwich game was a classic example.
Yeah,
we've had other games where, you know, we beat Newcastle, we've played Stoke, and we've been beaten by them. There's a
classical game,
the Crystal Palace game, where we probably dominated and then we found ourselves a goal behind and then we had to chase it.
Thought we played well that night. It has
been tough, hasn't it? Let's be honest. I know, you know, some of the bigger sides we've played, we've got a point against them. Is a point good enough for where we want to be? And
well, this season, a point is not good enough. I would rather have took a lot more a few more defeats and a few more wins than all them draws, because it just tells you the draws get you absolutely nowhere.
Well, we've scored 39 goals, Mark.
Yeah.
And the top of the league, Arsenal, have scored 37. Leicester have scored 39, same as us.
Yeah.
They're in second place. City have scored 43, top scorers in the league. They're in third place. Spurs are on 38 now. We've scored one more than them. They're in fourth place. We're in 11th place. We've conceded 32 goals, which is the most in about, I think, the top 12 or 13 places in the league, which is just unbelievable.
Given the quality of players at the back for them, compared to the likes of Leicester, you know.
So it's almost like, you know,
got it right.
It's almost like Lukaku and co must be looking back at the side going, you know, we're doing our job. At the end of the day, what's going on at the back?
At what point does it become disheartening and they stop bothering? You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Because you keep doing something right and right and right, and then it keeps getting undermined the whole time by what's going on behind you. That's got to be disheartening at some point, hasn't it? You know, the amount of times that we ought to have won a game and we haven't. You know, it's haunting us every single week in the league.
You look at the other fixtures from the... Let's start at the turn of the year. Obviously, since we've done a podcast, there's been about probably 12 games, 15 games. But since the turn of the year, the Spurs game, we've done all right, didn't we? I mean, first half, I think my personal opinion is Tottenham were the best side that have come to us in the season.
Excellent team, really
probably outplayed us for an hour. We couldn't get the ball off them at times.
No.
Obviously Lennon scored and Dele Alli scored before half time, and it was 1-1, but maybe second half when we came on and we sort of took the game to them, a draw would have been a fair result. But Tottenham was a tough game.
It sort of marked messages to them, didn't it? You know,
the City game, Mark, was probably the Everton that we know is in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Reminded me of the sort of, I don't know, the Wolfsburg game a little bit, you know, where we sort of had the quality. I knew we were going to win that game. It was just a feeling that we've got an arrogance about us now that we know we can score against anybody, don't we? You know, not one team represent. We know we can score against anybody. And even when City pegged us back and it looked like they were maybe even going to win it, then for us to just, Lukaku was injured, then found his momentum, got his head on the ball. We just have a knack in front of goal, that is no question about that. We just, you know, we're not afraid. We will score against anybody. It's just, you know.
And then 3 days later after that, we've done basically a job done. Morales and Crony scored against them.
I think Dagenham were really keen not to get whacked there, to be honest with you. I was annoyed at Everton that day. I thought that squad players did themselves no favours at all with that, but we did it, you know.
There's a couple of returning from injuries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put down there, Pienaar and Jagielka could come back, didn't
they? They did. It was good. It was good from that point of view, absolutely. And we're in, you know, the next round, so Yeovil or Carlisle awaits.
Well, that's when's that? That's three games time, isn't it?
Yeah,
at the end of the month.
It's so thick and fast, the games. But
before the Chelsea game, we had the City game last week, and you know, I felt, as much as Everton do me head in when they draw games, I felt really heartened by the performance, and I thought Tim Howard, man of the match.
Yeah,
Jagielka was marshalled the side. Bezic again, the spine of the team. I thought we had chances first half, but second half we really had to dig deep.
Yeah,
you don't often see that from an Everton side.
No,
under,
you don't.
Under Martinez.
Absolutely, and when you consider Manchester City's record of scoring at the Etihad, it's ridiculous, isn't it? They score on nearly every game they play there. For Everton to sort of really not, we didn't look like collapsing at all, did we? We more attacks came our way, the more resilient we became at defending them, I thought. You know, and we still had the odd chance to do something on the break, but it was really impressive game, pretty impressive defensively.
It was, and I think when you go to Chelsea, you expect a lot more, don't you? Because Chelsea are a worse
side. You apply the same logic. Yeah. I think if we can defend like that, then we can win this. Because you know Chelsea's defence is just as shaky as ours, isn't it? They can't defend themselves. So you know, but then we get the goals, but then we don't get the defence. It's been like that all season, hasn't it? You know, we get what we needed up front, but not nothing. Go back to our old ways at the back, and that's why we're sitting in 11th place and not, I don't know, for me we should be about 3rd or 4th. And that's not even being dramatic.
I read a statistic today, and it was something like if we hadn't, I can't remember it, I do apologise, but it was something like if we hadn't conceded goals in the 89th or 90th minute, we'd be something like 6th place and
yeah.
2 points off, I don't know, Spurs. And I was like, really? So why can't we just shut up shop like other sides? And Roberto seems to take pride in not wanting to do that. But you know what, right? Give me an Everton player putting it in row Z with an Everton team winning 3 points rather than Everton players using it to pass it out.
Yeah.
And us dropping 2 points and me having to go through the shite that I went through on Saturday night at 5-5. And you had to go through and millions, and well, I'm not saying thousands of other Evertonians.
Absolutely. How many relationships were put to the test on Saturday night just because of a few minutes of pathetic defending?
Well, she said to me, I don't know why you bother. I don't know why you bother. It's always the same. You're never going to win it. And I'm sitting there thinking, you'll fucking never understand. But she'll never understand.
Thinking,
but really, but yeah, you think, why do I, she's right, yeah. Why do I bother? Why don't I just go out the back and put my head in the sandpit for 3 hours and come back in and have a drink and be like, oh, yeah, we've drawn, we've lost, or whatever. But
then, I think it's important we acknowledge something, that it is the best attack in football we've ever seen. Well, not ever seen, that's stretching it, of course.
Why, but is that you being positive?
I was thinking then, wouldn't it be great to see an Everton striker run the ball into the corner and just hold it there for a minute, you know what I mean? And just keep the ball out.
I'm not being funny, but the size of Lukaku, he could run the ball into the corner and defend the whole fucking Stamford Bridge.
And I think maybe sign a few autographs while he was there.
Exactly.
Know, off the family enclosure.
I know what you mean, Mark. Don't get me wrong, the football is great.
Christ, we look good going forward.
Let's be honest. I think, let's not mess around here. We can sit here criticising the side and the performance as the manager. We all know the offensive play to our side, and especially, although it's not offensive, the compactness and the spine of our side. Since Jagielka has returned, Mo Bezic has been introduced, Lukaku is obviously on fire. I won't have a bad word said about Lukaku.
No,
some fell in our works there too, and the other day, I cash in on Lukaku now.
That's just brains, I do.
And I said, what?
Are you
who's going to get 20 goals a season, yeah?
So, Harry Kane.
I can't believe that there's still Evertonians criticising Lukaku. I honestly can't believe
it's people who have an agenda.
The spine of our team there is there, and the offensive play is mouth-watering. It's some of the best play you'll ever see. Ross Barkley, I know he can frustrate the life out of a lot of Evertonians, but he's going to be such a talent, and he already is such a talent. For a kid that age, De La Foe, you've got exciting players, Morales.
Yeah.
There's other players who are in there, who are involved, and you think to yourself, are they going to stay around? John Stones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Funes Mori is coming to a side. He's an exciting player. I like Funes Mori,
I like him a lot, but he can't play with... Stones and Funes Mori look great next to Jagielka. They can't play together.
Exactly.
That's my opinion on
but,
it.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's the kind... Him and Besic, you know, that's... You know, they're Everton players, aren't they?
But a young core of players, you don't sign for big money, not big expectation, but they're there. And
so if we were a woman, you'd be saying, you look great in that dress, week in, week out, just learn to keep your legs shut now and again, and we'll be getting on fine.
Yeah. Well, that is one sort of youth, well, whatever you want euphemism. To call it, scenario, euphemism, yeah.
If only we could say no now and again. That would be nice.
But the I have to look at it like you, and without sitting here being overly critical, the core of talent and core of youth is there. We are a good side. I think there's no Evertonian out there who would say we're not a good side, but no. We've just got such a soft belly about us. Now, whether that comes from the goalie,
yeah,
and he's been critical this season, you know, we've all got our things about Tim Howard. But the defence and yeah. naivety of Funes Mori and John Stones, Seamus Coleman being not as maybe efficient as we'd like, Leighton Baines being out to side through injury, Gareth Barry had a bad year last year, but he's coming to his own this season. Now he's got James McCarthy's been injured, he's got Mo Bezic. So will it take a year for the team to actually iron itself out to see the what creases. The pattern's going to be? Yeah,
absolutely. It's a really good shout. It's like, all the pieces are there, we just haven't laid them flat. Do you know what I mean? It's like that.
Can the manager do it though?
The problem,
can this manager do that though, Matt?
Exactly. That's where.
Can he?
I really think he can't. Well, I don't know. He hasn't shown that he can all season long. And he's had big decisions to make. And he's appeared, for want of a better word, shit house in a lot of them big decisions, hasn't he? So he's gone back to, you know, the dominating characters, and you know how it's a dominating
so character. Can't he make them decisions to make this side a better
I don't think he's as ruthless as he ought to be in the job that he's doing. No, I don't think so. The Howard situation is the one. This is potentially, he's backing a player at any other club, not at ours with the board the way it is at the moment, but at any other club he's backing a player that potentially could cost him his job. You know, and the thing with Howard is, if we look at Joe Lobo's things, won the last six games he's played in an Everton thing, but the defence has looked okay as well. There's you know, with Howard, he undermines the defensive confidence around him, so we end up protecting him a corner, so then no one's picking up anyone on a 6-yard box. It's one of them, isn't it? It's like we're overcompensating for having a lousy goalkeeper behind us, whereas if you stuck a Joe average goalkeeper in there, with Joe's a little bit better than that, we look, that's all we need. But he's backed mediocrity all season.
But just a quick one on Tim Howard. The way I see it, people will say, oh, well, you know, he's an international keeper, he's experienced, he's over the age of 30, he knows the Premier League. He's that bad, in my opinion. I'd be willing to take a risk on a 20-year-old kid
yeah.
who's just come through.
Absolutely.
And I know, like, goalkeepers are under the spotlight in the Premier League at the moment, but you know what? I'd be willing to take the chance. And I know Joe Robles isn't a 20-year-old kid, but he's a lot older. But I watched him in that City Cup game, Mark, and I watched his mannerisms and his body language and his overall stature, even just how he behaves, fills me. Never mind his defence, it fills me, sitting behind that goal in the Gladys Street, with a lot more confidence. And I think to myself, why not? Yeah. Why not then? If you're willing to go in for Sam Byron right back.
Yeah.
If you're willing to sign a defender from River Plate,
yeah.
If you're willing to bring Brendan Galloway, a 19-year-old kid from MK Dons.
Same with Bezic to a degree.
Mo Bezic, Bosnian kid, 20, yeah. 21 years of age, bring him into the Premier League.
Yeah.
Why not in that position? And it goes as far as back as David Moyes for this.
Yeah.
I believe that we should have been investing in position 3-4 years ago.
Easy.
I don't think he's been good enough since day one, Tim Howard.
No.
But most recently,
I agree.
I think we should be looking into investing in that area, and we haven't. We've signed Joe Robles, but have we signed him long term?
You know, he was on a plate.
Well, everyone can name Jack Butland's Cardi, but look at the other players that are out there. It's January, we're linked with Cardiff's David Marshall. Should we be linked with a championship keeper? We're meant to have an international experienced goalkeeper in our goal here. So shouldn't he feel undermined anyway that we're getting linked with a championship?
Absolutely.
Keeper?
And also, if Martinez is going to put up, which he clearly puts up with mistakes from Howard, puts up with a lot of mistakes, then surely the mistakes are better coming from a goalkeeper who's learning his trade rather than someone who's just about to do a lemon. I can't think of a better expression. Fall off the cliff. We're putting up with mistakes from someone who's in a year's time could be sitting at home, you know, retired. I'm not in the MLS, which is no different, to be honest.
At the end of the day, Mark, he's given him that place in that side, right? So we can play from now till May. He can go around Goodison and give everyone a clap Yeah. And he can put on a plane and go back home and he could play for another 10 years in the MLS.
Yeah, easy.
And not give a shit about Everton. But we're here having to deal with the here and now, what's best for Everton FC.
Yeah.
And Tim Howard, in my opinion, is not good. No. Not good enough to wear the Everton shirt. And yeah, he has a good game and I'll give him credit, as I did the other day.
Yeah. But he's allowed to have a good game. He's on 40 grand a week, 50 grand, whatever he's on.
He's on more than that. He's on more than that, trust me.
So he's allowed to have a good game.
It's like you're allowed to have a good day in work, though.
Just as you're allowed to have a bad one. But, you know, if I have 65 bad ones...
You put on a disciplinary or you put on a performance plan.
Just whatever. It doesn't apply to Everton, though, where In the world of Premier League football, Martinez is putting up with all kinds.
How did we get on to Tim Howard? I thought we were having a good second half.
I'm looking at the notes, and we got Shani Tarashash, and I've just been talking about MLS football.
Oh my word. Anyway, this month, we've signed Shani Tarashash.
Yeah.
He's a 20-year-old from Grasshopper. Have you been on? He looks decent. Yeah.
But then I look decent on YouTube. So it's tricky to gauge whether he's good or not. There's a couple of lovely finishes for Grasshoppers on YouTube. That's all I can
say. He's gone back there to complete his national service, hasn't he?
Apparently so, yeah. They've got to do a year, I think, haven't they, in Switzerland or something.
After, yeah.
Which is really weird, considering that country is predominantly neutral in every war that's going.
Yeah,
you'd think national service wouldn't be a priority.
They might just be sitting there eating cheese or chocolate.
Yeah, he's going to come back to Goodison with clean looking boots. That's what's there.
He comes back and he's the next Shaqiri.
He's the next.
That's what we're
going
to tell ourselves, is it? Yeah,
yeah. The next Kadamatri in our
Shani Tarashajai. Remember the name.
Remember the name.
So
does he signed for Everton because it's funny you should say that because he said he signed for Everton because of Wayne Rooney. So.
Yeah, so he's had a word with him, yeah.
Rooney's told him he's on his way back too.
Well, I think we all know that. Wazza, as he's known, wants to come back here, doesn't he? So,
yeah.
We won't get into that because it'll be a Twitter battle.
I could do a podcast on that as well, but no, I'll just get
Wayne Rooney, what's your opinion on Wayne Rooney?
I just think he's got zero. I think he's now going through the motions. It looks like he's living at home with his missus and they've already agreed to divorce with United right now. Just think. When I was watching the other day, a quick opinion, it just looked like he had zero emotion for that football club. Not against Liverpool, against when he scored the last minute winner against someone in the FA Cup. Sheffield United, I think it was.
Sheffield United.
I think he scored the winner. I think he scored the penalty, didn't he?
Well, everyone criticised him, but he scored two and set one up against Newcastle. Scored the winner against Sheffield United and scored the winner against Liverpool.
Yeah. I just think he doesn't want to be there anymore. Just looked that way for a few years, to be honest with you.
He'd be a great option off the bench, wouldn't he?
Piss on him if he was on fire, and that's fair enough, but I'd have him back.
He'd be a great option off the bench.
Yeah, definitely. Martinez wouldn't bring him on until the 80th minute, though.
But anyway, there's a few other items to get through, Mark, before you have to get off and, you know, go and speak to your agent. Stephen Naismith. I think we should dedicate at least 5 minutes to Stephen Naismith here. Obviously... it's been confirmed today that he's joined Norwich for a reported $8.5 million Everton undisclosed fee, as usual.
Undisclosed.
Let's not go there.
Of course.
30-year-old player, $8.5 million We signed him on a free four years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
What's your attribute to Stephen Naismith?
I think he's been a good player without being a great player. He scored some important goals. Some good memories have come from Stephen. You know, the Chelsea hat trick this season. Was stand out for sheer quality above anything else. Great player, plays with his heart. You know, the type of player we like to see in Everton. But for me, he was a limited footballer. And if he wasn't scoring, he was fouling. You know what I mean? But he's definitely a character that you want in your team rather than, you know, people who couldn't give a toss. He certainly did care. And I think the guy is a stand-up plug off the pitch as well with what he was doing with the charity and he goes to soup kitchens and all that type of thing, doesn't he, to help out. Clearly a great fella. I've got nothing bad to say about him. I'm pleased for him, well, because he's going to get more opportunities at Norwich. They see him as a key signing, don't they, to be honest. So he's going to get a lot more opportunities. It's a great fee for Everton to get for someone they didn't pay anything for. He's 30 years of age, he's not going to get in the team. Mate, I hope it goes well for him, but I just want, you know, a player who, on his day, like, is unplayable, but then didn't have too many of them days. That's all I can say, though. Yeah.
I think that's probably best to describe him. I honestly think that's the best way to describe him. A player who's unplayable on certain days,
yeah.
But he didn't have too many of them days. And I know I commented and said, like, he's probably a typical Scottish player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
full of endeavour, and but just
full of heart. Yeah.
Just that extra bit of quality that you needed went missing. But, you know, certainly a player you can look back on and say he was a good Everton player. Definitely. Yeah.
And
I
just echo your thoughts. I'd just quickly say I wish him well. I think he gave us all. It took a while to get going.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there watching him thinking, oh my God, what have we done here? It was a free transfer, but
he looked dear at that price.
Is he another McFadden? But to be honest, the lad worked his ass off.
He did.
He absolutely worked his ass
off. No, he turned it round, didn't he, with the fans as well?
He definitely did. And one thing about Naismith I liked was... the way he went up against 6'5" defenders.
Yeah.
He looked like, although he's a 30-year-old fella and he looks like me, he looks about 45, he really had a go. He really did have a go.
And a bit of character.
Put himself about, yeah.
He did, he would dive in.
Really passionate, yeah. And I think, you know, that goes a long way with our fans. And what Absolutely. He lacked in quality, he did make up in endeavour and you know, sheer grit and determination. Yeah. So fair play to Stephen Naismith and good luck to him, obviously, at his new club, Norwich City, and hopefully Everton go out and spend the money.
Absolutely.
And we move on
better. Yeah.
To bigger and better players. But hopefully. Coming to the room is Denmark, Sam Byram.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't even know who he was, now we're getting upset about not signing him. I think you've got to be wary of a player who's highly rated for 4 years and doesn't move anywhere, and then, you know, no one took him up. I couldn't comment on him because I'd never seen him play. I didn't know what he was about or anything. He could have been a Paul Holmes or all that. But, you know, for all I know. So it was hard for me to say, oh, gutted we didn't get him and stuff like that. But, you know, West Ham beat us to it. To be honest, West Ham are now... I'm starting to prefer Coppites over that team, to be honest with you, West Ham. I'm starting to prefer Liverpool.
They're horrible West Ham, aren't they?
Really,
I don't know what the fucking problem is.
Small-minded. Yeah, they acted like they're the
only club. It's all come from that McCarthy tackle on Payet.
I think they were the first club in recorded history to suffer an injury to a player. So, pathetically small-minded club.
It's annoying that they're obviously a lot higher than us in the league, but it's annoying that they also think they're a much bigger club than us and they've got a bigger history than us. But at the end of the day, they've got no fucking history.
Their highest position is dead, ever.
A fucking gang of Cockneys sitting down.
Down
in London.
I'm, like I said, and there's a bloke on the telly in the stands wearing Stone Island. They have to be so fucking
ridiculous. It's so stereotypical, isn't it? I mean, I should be sitting here with my fucking trackie on me. Yeah. You know, me.
I've seen them take the West Ham badge off and stitch on Stone Island badge. Yeah, you should be wearing you know,
because they've got a few decent players. It doesn't mean that they're going to win the fucking league, and they've got them two dickheads as their owners. Let's be honest.
Let's just hope Arsenal sign them off. I mean,
they're creating this sort of divide or, I don't know, rivalry between us and them, and a lot of our fans are sort of falling for it, which is a bit cringy. But let's be honest, no one's got a rivalry with West Ham. They're a nothing club.
They blow bubbles before the match.
Exactly. And they haven't beat us in, I don't know, about 15 years or something.
Something like that.
I don't really care. Do you know what? They're fifth or sort of sixth or something now. We'll end up still beating them. Finishing above them.
We'll still beat them. We'll have a poor end to the season as well, but still beat them.
We'll come down to the bowling ground and record a podcast when we finish above you, lads. Anyway, Sam Byram's got an airball. Yeah, to be honest, I thought we bought Mason Holgate to fill in right back.
Yeah,
and you know, there's other kids. Clubs, there,
people on Twitter, Merrow of all kinds, Holgate is every inch as good as Stones.
Exactly. Merrow, you know, you see everything that Merrow says with gospel, don't you? So
you do get a little warm feeling in your stomach when he likes one of your tweets. I will say that.
Yeah, Malenko.
Yeah, just.
That's more or less like
saying, I don't know if it's bullshit.
Asking your bird with the tease on these days, isn't it?
You know, and then Dortmund are saying they're not going to sign him, but he is signing with someone, so I hope it's us. But then, why would I ever think it was us? Because we don't make them type of signings apart from Lukaku, of course, a few years ago. He'd just be a world-class, just be a fantastic addition, wouldn't he? Guy's got everything about him.
So you're not confident of signing him now?
I don't know. Just wait for it to happen rather than constantly speculate as to whether he'll come in or not, because then, you know, we end up signing someone on loan.
Manuel Fernandez
from
on loan.
United. Yeah, Fellaini on loan. And then everyone will forget about, I just hope we just get it over, or we sign him. Show a bit of ambition.
There's been a couple of other rumours. Anderlecht midfielder, Yuri Tielemans.
Yeah, don't know anything about him.
Derby midfielder, Will Hughes.
I like him. He reminds me of Whitey off Me, Myself and I.
Yeah.
I like him for that reason. But
he's been linked with Liverpool a lot, hasn't he? Yeah,
he has. Very good player. Decent player.
But I don't know. We've got a lot of midfielders, so... Do we need people like that?
I think, to be honest, his position is the position I'd love to see Kieran Dowell play in when he's back fit, because...
Is he the left-footed man?
He's that left-footed number 10, sort of wonderful left-foot player. I thought he was going to have a big season this season, to be honest with you, but he got injured, didn't he, pre-season. Every time I've watched him play, he looks a real class act.
Mm.
Just hope he gets his chance.
See, those players, there's obviously rumours in the January transfer window. Byron looks going to West Ham. Yeah, Malenko, we miss out on him. We've signed that other kid from Grasshoppers, but it doesn't seem to be we're doing any major business. There's obviously rumours outgoing as well. Darren Gibson to Blackburn. Everyone seems to get linked to Blackburn.
I know.
Pienaar to Ajax.
Yeah, I don't think Ajax have him back with the model that they got. It's
McGeady to Sheffield.
Yeah, that's a signing you could picture, isn't it? You know.
But I've heard McGeady's on about 70 grand a week at Everton and he doesn't fancy the move.
You wouldn't fancy
moving down to the Championship or League One, would you, if you're on 70 grand a week?
But then you look at Naismith's attitude that he's moving to a Premier League club but he wants to play. Does McGeady just want to piss about or does he want to play?
Well, this is the thing. That's just what I've heard anyway. Yeah. That McGeady's on top dollar at Everton. But anyway, Oviedo to QPR on loan. I can't see that happening because he's been used. By the time he got down there, he'd be injured.
There's one in the middle there, Howard to Colorado Rapids.
Well, I was going to mention that last because of it.
Just said the words Howard and then two, and then I got excited.
Tim Howard's representative has been in talks with them, haven't they?
I would guess that would be a summer move rather than now.
There's no way he's going to ship him out now. Absolutely no way. That's what I said before about he's going to give him the next 4 or 5 months as a bit of a swan song.
Carte blanche.
Finish his career in the English.
It's a shame he's not giving him the kind of swan song he gave this time, which is where Tim Howard should put him on the bench
and give someone else a chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There shouldn't be no emotions with all this. And I have, you know, without sounding cutthroat, you have to think of Everton, don't you?
Absolutely.
So what's better for them? So
no room for sentimentality.
But just to finish you off, there's a couple of other things, Mark, the takeover. Rumours. Let's not get drawn into...
There's nothing concrete.
The hype, but there's no concrete on any side.
I've had the dream of seeing Everton rid themselves of this board for far too long for me to, you know, get upset or I don't know, just to go into it too much. I just think... There seems an inevitability around the sort of takeover, but I just hope it happens one day because, you know, the club needs to move on in the boardroom, the club needs to progress. It just needs to progress. It's doing nothing. We're just sitting still. We're sort of hanging, aren't we? We're doing nothing. We're not improving the grounds.
You sound like you're not giving too much away there, don't matter. But what do you know about this takeover?
Well, I mean, only what I know on Twitter.
You're the top bell end on Twitter, aren't you?
Number four now. Yeah, I clearly haven't been ranting hard enough if I only made fourth. But I just think people are getting turned away at the first instance. There's something massively dark, panorama, investigation worthy going on at Everton. And not many people are interested in uncovering that truth, except for maybe Watch Toffee and, you know, the guys with the board out and everything. It seems most people are happy to live in ignorance over this. You know, there's clearly something massively wrong at Everton for us not to, you know, just that fact alone that there's no investment made or put in 16 years. That alone should be, you know, alarm bells ringing and stuff. But clearly, people are getting turned away or put off. I actually think it's got a lot to do with Phil Green. I know that's conspiracy theory and people won't want to listen to it. That's fine. I think they just want a king's ransom for something that they haven't improved. And that's what's putting people off.
Well, obviously, there was rumours and there's ongoing rumours about John J. Moores and
yeah.
Charles Noel, the former San Diego Padres.
See, Swansea team, were really dubious about them, weren't they?
Swansea, you think to yourself,
so we don't want to just jump into the boat with anybody because we've just had that for 16 years. And look what it's got us. We need someone who wants to take the club forward. It doesn't mean anybody other than Ken Wright on the board. It means someone who can progress us. That's what it means. You know,
but the thing is, I mean,
we just want red at all costs.
The rumours are there, and now everyone's saying like it's off. But who's actually saying it's off? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Far too often you see things on Twitter said that much, then it becomes concrete without ever being concrete. Do you know what I mean?
So, there's certain Twitter accounts that claim to know.
Yeah,
or claims thing, and
but then you get people who unfollow 6,000 people at once in an attempt to look official. That's dedication.
It's all about your Ben.
Yeah, that's.
You know, there's a few speculative things, but I don't know that due diligence and you know exclusivity over the Everton's accounts can take a while. Can't we're only 2 weeks into January, and already the takeover's collapsed and. Twitter's on to meltdown. We've lost Sam Byron.
We've lost
the last 98-minute equaliser against John Terry, and the fume is unreal. But I don't know. There's another rumour about this fella here. I'm going to try and pronounce his name. Hassan Abdullah Ismail, the Jordanian construction magnate. Reported to be worth $2 billion. Jesus Christ! You want to get down to Old Swan, lad? Fucking regenerate the area.
$2 billion. Does that mean the Gladys Street can get a little bit?
Yeah. Does that mean the Gladys Street can actually have urinals with water flushing the piss out of them?
Yeah, or them self-flush ones.
He owned 49% in 1860 Munich, but he's apparently going toe-to-toe with this American, but obviously nothing's going to happen as yet. And if we do get to Fulham, we'll have a celebratory podcast.
We will. We will.
Get some fireworks on your roof.
We might even get a plane flying over.
We'll get a plane. Hey, we'll fly a plane over Queen's Drive.
We will, yeah.
Hey, I must say, Mark Isabel ends on Twitter.
Officially. I need to make it to number one if we're going to put a plane up. I mean, about that, fourth, I was dubious about it, and then I seen the list of all the other people in that list. Top balance on Twitter. It was shown to me.
So anyone who's listening here, what we're talking about is there's been a forum thing on Twitter. And,
yeah.
Mark, who I'm sitting here with, Mark the Blue, by the way. It's not me. I'm Mark as well, but I'm not a balance.
You're not the balance type.
He got voted the fourth most Everton balance on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
By some fella in fucking, I don't know, he was on the other side of the world, but it was absolutely hilarious. Just have a little look for it on your hashtags and see if he comes up. Just type in top Everton Bellon.
I'm right there on fourth. I haven't had that name well.
You come in the Champions League place to stop.
I could, yeah. I mean, I think I'd give their right arm for where I'm sitting in that Bellon table. But I haven't had that name labelled at me since the ex-wife walked out.
It almost,
I cared a lot more about what she thought. But, you know, it's fun.
It almost appears like anyone who speaks out against certain people at Everton...
Yeah, well, if you look at that list, it was exclusively people who spoke out against the club. So
the thing is, people need to realise they're not.
Nobody can accuse me of being offensive for that.
They're not fucking pro-activist against certain people. They just have an opinion. So
absolutely,
if their opinion's different, then it doesn't mean that.
I will endeavour to make number one.
But I do agree with them. Though you are a balance.
Thanks very much.
Anyway,
is that our last podcast?
It is, and it's our last 2 minutes. And the last thing is, Everton are offered to pay for
City with the traffic. City money, thought it was ludicrous that they didn't hold the game back for 15 minutes. Thought that was really unfair.
Which, when you listen to what the facts, it's probably down to the stadium officers. Not to do with Man City or Everton or the Premier League.
No.
It's something to do with the safety officers and
the sort of management. The stewards and everything, but I thought it was a really poor decision. I feel sorry for all the fans, but I'm glad to see them ever in a class like that. We always have been, you know, you can't say anything bad against Everton when it comes to stuff like that. It's a class gesture, and you know, hopefully that gesture will equal into a League Cup final once that game finishes.
We can only hope so, mate. We can only hope so. There's a couple of tweets at the end as well, just to finish off. We asked, obviously, fans, how they feel about this season. The replies weren't that pleasant, like, I've got to be honest. But Ryan Fortune just basically said sellable inconsistent. Rob Finders says bubbling up nicely. So I don't know whether he thinks we're going to finish well. I don't know whether that's
maybe we're a Kevin Brock moment away from exploding.
Maybe.
We just need a back pass. Is there a back pass out there?
Like a Phil Neville tackle?
Yeah, oh, a Phil Neville tackle or Ronaldo. Howard Ken, bless him. A Tim Howard drop to the bench. You know, something inspirational.
Aaron Clark says Tim Howard and individual are sort of the reason we're in a bad position. Reece Jones says we're not doing as well as we should be.
Yeah.
And we keep making the same mistakes. And to be honest, you can't argue with any of these. Toffee Nick says, obviously underachieving, but I reckon we're just a few silly mistakes away from something good. And I think that's probably the frustration, isn't it?
Yeah, spot on. That's it. We know it's there. We know we're a good team. We know we've got all the capabilities to get into the top four. We don't even know we've got a shit defence. We know we've got a good defence, they're just not performing. And we're not, maybe, I think, to be honest with you, we're not defending as a team. We need to defend from the front a lot better as well.
Too right, and I think that, I mean, you know, there's other people here who basically echoed it and said we're excitingly frustrating.
Yeah.
Adam Bell, this is, we're excitingly frustrating, underachieving and somewhat predictable. It's the same team, doesn't it? You know, we're great going forward, but we've got a soft underbelly and it is a bit predictable.
We're not getting away with it, are we, either, you know?
L.A. Scally says, we're a boss team with shit management. A bit like our podcast, to be honest.
We've got a lousy manager. Again, he's nowhere to be seen tonight. But then the manager put that team together, so none of it makes fucking sense, does it?
Well, that's it. It's
like he's bought himself all these nice new presents, but he doesn't know how to use them.
It's carrying
on the Christmas.
We've got Swansea on Sunday.
Yeah.
We've got City. And then we've got the FA Cup game, yes, so we'll see games. Where we are from there, and we'll come back and we'll record again. But
four wins.
Do you hold out much hope for Swansea to get a new manager?
I do. Yeah, they're a poor team.
We should be beating them.
We should have enough about us to get ahead. Although they had a good result last night against Watford, I think, wasn't it? Did they beat Watford last night?
1-0. Yeah,
1-0. So Watford are on a bad run themselves, aren't they? But given that, I think we should have more than enough for Swansea. They're not the Swansea that used to cause us bombs, are they? You know, we used to go toe-to-toe with them a few seasons.
They haven't beat us still in about 20-odd games. But
and we should have absolutely made them at Swansea, if you remember. 0-0 it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Them. I'm confident.
We missed about 12 chances.
12, then. I think it's 16 or something, yeah. No, well confident. And then City, the big one. The Dynamo Kiev, and it all over again.
Of this season, then.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll come back after the City game.
Yeah, great.
And, we'll see about them two games.
Absolutely. All smiles.
It's been good to catch up with you anyway.
Certainly.
Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks very much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Obviously, we haven't been around for a long time. Mark's been trying to grow us you can follow the show on SoundCloud, Everton Fan Focus. You can also download us on iTunes. Uploading it to YouTube, we're going to try and look into doing that in the near future when we get a bit more technically
definitely.
But good night to everyone. Thanks very much for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye now.
Ta-ra. See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.